Hey, welcome back to this video series about ASP.NET Core. My name is Jeff Fritz.
And I'm John Galloway.
And John, you know what? We're both Americans. And
yeah. Although you tried to be a Canadian.
I tried to be a Canadian earlier.
Failed.
But I barely speak English well, let alone another language. And I know a lot of the folks out there, I'm sure you don't speak English as your first language. How do we go about localizing and making sure that our ASP.NET Core web applications work better for those folks who aren't American and aren't English?
You know, that's a great question, and it's one that I've been doing ASP.NET presentations for a while, and it's one that I've gotten over the years for previous versions of ASP.NET, and I never had a good answer. And people would say, like, hello, you're in Germany, you're speaking to me about ASP.NET, and my sites don't work in German, you know? And I'd say, yeah, sorry about that. Fortunately, with ASP.NET Core, we've got a good solution for that. They've actually thought through this, and I'm really pretty happy with the level of support for globalization and localization. Here in the docs, the globalization, localization in ASP.NET Core doc is, there's a lot of information here. Another thing that I love is just looking at the name of contributors. For instance, Nadim and Hisham, both folks that are not from the US and are experts in localization, and have contributed code and documentation to this. So it's exciting to see the global community contributing to our globalization localization efforts.
Awesome.
First, a term as far as globalization and localization definitions. So globalization is the process of making my application able to speak many languages.
Okay.
And then localization is the step of actually saying, great, now let's target it for a specific culture or language, right?
Okay.
So globalization is opening it up, and then localization is focusing it to a list of supported languages.
All right.
Right? So there's a lot of different things in here. There's information about how to make my content localizable. The main things that you're going to see is your code behind and your razor. Right? Those are your two kind of main places.
Okay.
So we'll take a quick look at this. This is, like I said, this is a long document, and there are some complexities to localizing your applications. And so I refer you to the docs to really dig into this. But for the time we have to look at this, I'm going to show you, first of all, here is a localization sample. This is prepared. This is actually in that doc. It goes through and it talks you through this exact demo here.
Okay.
So some things that are set up here, first of all, in my services, so I'm running the app right now, so I've got a smaller screen available, but in my services, we actually, as part of configuring services, built into that is the ability to say things like, here are my supported cultures, right? So I can go through and I can say, here are the supported cultures that my application has. So this is the, after I've globalized it, these are the languages I've localized for, okay? So I can go through and set both supported cultures, and I can also go in and set a default request culture.
Okay.
So if the browser does not present a culture, it doesn't say the local languages, then this is, I can go through here and I can specify that. And I could even, for all these things, because they're in code, I can go through and run my own custom logic, maybe even hit a database.
Okay.
So that's that part there. Let's take a look at this app, actually. So this is, you know, this is an example application. You'll see down in the footer, it says language is English. And if I drop this down, now I'm in French, right? And so portions of this have been localized. This is using the resources. We'll take a look in a second. But this is showing kind of where this comes from. My French is not so good, so you know. But we can look around throughout the site, and we can see some things in here. So for instance, let's see if we've got our contact page. And yes, our contact page is localized, right? So we can actually take a look at how these resources are set up. One other thing, actually, before we jump into that, I want to point out just a small funny thing. I wanted to show this off, and here they've built in this little drop-down for English and French.
Right, that's built into the sample.
Into the sample.
That's not built into
ASP.NET Core. That's not a standard feature, no. And so I didn't realize that was there. fortunately for you, I'm going to show you something that you can use. So this is an example. This is an extension where I can go in and change my language, my culture, as I'm sending it back to the browser. So I can actually, in here, if I set this to French, you can use this as you're testing your applications. This is a culture switcher, right? And so you can go through and do that in your apps as well.
So that'll, what that culture switcher does is it effectively changes the browser to send that header that says, accept the French language information.
Exactly. Yep. So now let's look at how those resources are configured. So these are actually the standard kind of default way that .NET does localization is using resource files. So if I go into one of these, there's a these are actually resx files or XML, but there is an editor thing for this that I can
use. Editor plugin for Visual Studio.
It's built into the
Fantastic.
UI. Right. Yep. So that's kind of the standard way to do this. It is an extensible system where I can kind of, I can supply those other ways, but this is kind of, the tooling is built in for this. And then when I look at how I light this up in a view, for instance, we use this localizer. What's neat about this localizer is it actually is, the key is my default culture. So what I can say here is, if there's nothing specified or if it's my local culture, I'm going to use home page. Otherwise, I'm going to pull it in. I'm going to use that as the key to look up what it should be.
All right.
If that makes sense. If you've used localization in the past, it can be frustrating to try and dig through and understand. You know, it's hard to read localized pages. Because the localized pages themselves can be, they can be, it's a bunch of keys. It's a bunch of, you know, strange hard read things. So for instance, if we look at this now, here if we look at my contact page, you'll see that these localized strings say things like localizer phone, localized support. So these are actually, it's actually pretty readable, right? Mm-hmm. And then if I want to look at, well, what is the localized string for instance, support on my contact page? Now I go into contact, and I can see here's support, and you know that's what it's pulling in from that one, right? So
okay.
It's actually just showing that string there, but it's explaining that's where it came from.
Now I'm seeing a hierarchy, and it looks like a naming convention for these resource files.
Yeah, that's true. So that's how they're being pulled in based on you know exactly here's the views, and it actually maps views home. And then down here, we've got the same. This is views home, right?
So if I'm in my home view, my home index view page, and I'm referencing the localizer, and I've specified the home page item in the indexer there, it's going to reach into the views home index resource and look for that same home page item. Oh, there it is, about halfway down. Okay.
Yep. And so there we are. This is the index.fr, and then if I had others, if I had, you know, Japanese, index.ja.resx,
okay.
et cetera, right?
And you were making the point that it uses my default language as the indexer for these keys over here. That way, if I'm not an English speaker and I'm writing this, and perhaps I'm French and I'm writing it and I want to provide German translations and whatnot, I can use my native language as the keys to access these.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Yep. And so then your view can be readable by, you know, whatever your local language, whatever your language
is. Your French dev team in that case.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's really handy. So that's kind of the main thing. There's also, of course, we're also seeing things like here is my, for the controller as well, right? So here I've got resources for my home controller. And let's take a look in my controllers up here. And we'll look in my home controller. And so we've passed in this iString localizer, right? And then we're able to, it's injected, and it's just view data message. Here, normally, I would just set a string. Instead, I use localizer and calling to that service I've injected, and then again, that key. So my controller, the code is still readable by me in my default language, in my local language, right? And then it's actually just going to localize this at runtime.
So once again, the localizer knows that it's operating inside of the home controller class.
Exactly.
So it's going to find the home controller resource to inject from.
Yep.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. So that's really all there is to it. One other cool thing I want to show you is ResX files are kind of a Microsoft localization thing. And it works great for some people. The tooling's all there and all that. I've talked to some people that do a good amount of localization, and PO files are kind of standard outside of the Microsoft dev world.
Okay.
PO files, the format is pretty simple, and it can also be easy to pass off to a localizer. They can do the work. They know their PO files. It's easy to work with, and then they can kind of pass it back to you.
So do I have to convert those PO files to ResX?
No. So that's a cool thing. So Orchard, the Orchard project, Orchard Core. So if I look up here, let's go to orchardproject.net, I believe. So Orchard is a .NET powered CMS.
Okay.
And Orchard Core has support for PO file localization. So this is actually in the docs here. If we go to, you know, the docs.microsoft.com, looking in the globalization localization section, they talk about PO files and recommend using Orchard Core for that. So here you're seeing, here's a sample PO file. It can be a lot simpler and lighter weight to use a PO file as opposed to a ResX file, which, you know, has a lot of XML to it, right? So that's kind of the standard for it, for how it looks. And then here you'll see inside the application. So here we are doing services.addPortableObjectLocalization. So that's really, that lights that up. Otherwise, we just configure those default and supported cultures just like we did before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's that. And then the final thing I want to show you here is my PO file.
Okay.
So, you know, to kind of circle way back, we talked about what globalization and localization are. In the process of internationalizing an application, globalizing is making your application ready to be localized. Localization is where you actually drill down and you say, I support the following four languages, and, you know, here's how I turn on here's how I write those strings. We looked at how you can use the localizer both in views and in my code, in my controllers or code behind using that localizer service. And then finally, we looked at where I can get those strings from, and we can pull them either from a ResX file, and that's supported in the Visual Studio tooling, and it's an XML file. If you prefer to use PO files, we looked at how Orchard Core supports that, and we showed a sample of using that.
That's terrific.
So I'll circle back finally to, if you want to dig deeper into this, I highly recommend the docs on this and the sample file. Again, these people are worldwide experts on localization and ASP.NET, and they've been doing it before ASP.NET Core was a thing. So these are the people you want to learn from. So.
Terrific.
Yeah. So that's it. That's our look at globalization and localization in ASP.NET Core. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you watch some more of our videos on ASP.NET Core.
Catch you later.